listening to the bougie black show.
Ready for action, nip it in the bud, we never relaxing. Outcast is everlasting, not clashing, not at all. But see my went to do a little acting. Now that's for anyone asking, give me one and pass them. Drip, drip, drop, there it goes, an orgasm. Now you coming out the side of your face, we tapping right into your memory banks. Thanks. So click at the ticket, let's see your seatbelt fasten. Trunk rattling, like 2 minutes in the back seat wrestling. Speaker box vibrate the tag, make it sound like aluminum cans in a bag. But I know y'all wanted that 808, can you feel that BASS, babe? But I know y'all wanted that 808, can you feel that BASS?
I like the way you move. I like the way you move. Woo. I love the way you move. I love the way. I love the way. I love the way you move. I love the way you move. Woo. I love the way you move. I love the way. I love the way.
The whole room fell silent. The girls all paused with glee. Turning left, turning right, thought they looking at me. But I was looking at them there on the dance floor. Now they got me in the middle feeling like a man. Especially the big girl. Big girls need love too. No discrimination here, squirrel. So keep your hands off my cheeks. Let me study how you ride the beat, you big freak. Skinny, slim women got the so within them. You can them, lift them, bend them, give them something to remember. Hell out timber when you fall through the chop shop. Take a deep breath and exhale. Your ex-male friend, boyfriend is boring as hell. But let me listen to the story you tell. And we can make moves like a person in jail. On the low, on the low.
Clawed their way to get a piece of the American dream. There were many who didn't make it. Those who are ultimately defeated in one way or another by discrimination. That legacy of defeat was passed on to future generations. Those young men, increasingly young women who we see standing on street corners or languishing in our prisons without hope or prospects for the future. For the men and women of Reverend Wright's generation, the memories of humiliation and doubt and fear have not gone away. Nor is the anger and the bitterness of those years.
On my bougie black show here. 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 On my
Stephen Early Jordan II, and you're listening to The Bougie Black Show. And you know how we can be reached, too. 206-376-1926. And don't forget about our email, bougieblackshow@gmail.com. So how you guys doing? How you guys doing? Well, the weather's changing. Spring is almost here. Easter's here. That means we can finally wear our white shoes. I'm going to be in Puerto Rico for Easter too, so I'm definitely excited about that. I'm not even sure what to expect. I'm not sure at all. I don't even have any plans there, to be honest, except for I have to work on, I know I'm going to be extremely late for my taxes, so I need to sit my butt at the beach and itemize all my write-offs and whatnot, send that to my lawyer. And importantly, I also need to finish a book I've been working on. And actually, it was finished, but then my computer crashed, and so did my external hard drive, and I lost that. So I'm basically in the process of rewriting that, and I'm giving myself the 9 days I'm in Puerto Rico to have it complete. It's going to be a short handbook for college students. I think I talked to you guys about it before. If not, then you guys are SOL, and I'll have to explain it to you later on. But it is a handbook for college students. I have a lot of projects like that going on this year, which I'll get to in another episode or something. So last episode, I was complaining about Barack Obama not showing his birth certificate, and I want to apologize to my listeners about that after I went on my big rampage about, hey, why don't he show his birth certificate? I listened to the show myself, and I was like, wait a minute. The main problem is that, why are they questioning him? That's the main problem. And second of all, why weren't any other of the presidents ever questioned themselves about that? And I think that white Americans are extremely happy with black Americans, primarily the men, only if they're in a submissive state. And the only way to get like Barack Obama in a submissive state is to keep him in like this boy mentality and tell him what to do, even though he's the commander in chief. And I think that Americans and well, all these people who are against Obama feel as if It's their responsibility to whip him in shape and keep on telling him what to do. Whereas when the government was even more fucked up before, or in the peak of being fucked up, no one had any problem with the Bush family. No one asked him for what his ties were with the oil and whatnot. Why was he fighting his daddy's war? It was Johnny Carson's smile. And so I want to apologize to my listeners about that, because it's not like me to talk trash about my black people. And so I had like a momentary lapse of sanity. And at least I come back and apologize to you. And so, but yeah, if he wants to show his birth certificate, that's on him. But however, I think what his mentality is why in the hell should I? Why in the hell should I? And why do they keep on investigating it? It's just another way to keep him suppressed. You know, I always say that corporate America and Americans itself do not like black men in higher positions unless they are gay, effeminate, or submissive, unless you can control them like a puppet. Or unless you think that you can, unless they give the impression that you can control them. And that's the key word. They give the impression. But it's okay for a black woman to be in a higher position. People aren't intimidated by that. Everybody wants the black bitch, as they say, in a higher authority to keep people in shape. It's all right. It's all right, they claim. Did you guys hear about Marilyn Davenport? Davenport people? Marilyn Davenport, a Republican official in California, didn't think Obama as a chimpy male was racist. The California Republican Party official who sent out an email of President Obama's face superimposed on a chimp says she's sorry but insists she wasn't trying to be a racist. It was like a family portrait of three monkeys and the baby monkey was Obama. Marilyn Davenport, an elected member of the Orange County Republican Central Committee, sent an email on Friday and it said the family photo features Commander-in-Chief as a baby chimpanzee with two chimp parents. Along with the offensive image was the tagline, "Now you know why, no birth certificate." What'd you think about that for a second? The supposed rag refers to the belief that so-called birthers who insist, even after the White House released a digitally scanned image of Hawaii birth certificate in 2008, that Obama wasn't born in the U.S. and is ineligible to be president. I didn't even know that the White House released a digitally scanned image of his birth certificate. I didn't know that at all. So that opens up a whole entire new can of worms. Just because the White House released one in 2008, I think it's a damn shame that people are questioning it. And like I said last week, if his name was like William Thomas or something like that, then there wouldn't be a problem. But because his name is Barack Obama, he comes across as like a Muslim. And I think I talked about that maybe like a year ago or so. One of the biggest problems with black people is, and I don't want to say a problem, but one of the biggest issues with black people is that we name our children names like this, as opposed to like Sally, Bob, Joe, Stephen, Thomas, things like that. And so people automatically prejudge you because of these names. Your resume is automatically stuffed at the bottom of the pile. And like I said before, I have a friend, and she's Filipino, but people think she's Italian only because of her name. She doesn't look Italian. a lot of people think I'm British or something like that until I walk into the office and they hear my West Virginia / New York accent, my created accent I made for myself. But back to Davenport. She admitted passing the picture around to her friends and acquaintances. And she tried to offer up a half-hearted apology, and she said, "I'm sorry if my email offended anyone. I simply found it amusing regarding the character of Obama and all the questions surrounding his origin of birth." Davenport wrote that she hadn't considered that Obama is half black, whatever. She said, "In fact, that never entered my mind until one or two other people tried to make this about race." Which reminds me, someone on Facebook this past week was talking trash to me and basically saying how they think it's racist that people are not saying that Obama is half black. He's biracial. People aren't saying that. People are just calling him the black president. And as I said before on the episode, I was talking about Halle Berry and Mulatto. We don't get to pick what race we are, people. Society does. And if you look black, then you obviously are black. You might consider yourself biracial if you're half Indian and half white. But if you look Indian, people are going to be calling you an Indian. Same thing as if you're half black and half white. Either you look black or you don't. And you can call yourself whatever you want to. You can have whatever euphemism that you want to call yourself to make yourself get by every single day so you can wake up with a smile and thank the fact that your people were not suppressed. But the fact of the matter is that you are black. And if society calls you a nigger, then obviously they see you as black too. If society tells you that you're a little bit too radical because of your discussions on race, class, and gender, then you probably are black because white people are never suppressed when they discuss issues like that in an open forum. Which I find quite interesting that a lot of these professors in colleges and universities are white. And I also find it quite hilarious how a lot of these people who are studying African American studies in colleges are half black, half white, or just white. Very few black Americans are studying African American studies. I'm not even sure what you do with African American studies. Most people I know who has a bachelor's in African American studies, what are you doing with that? People? What are you doing with that? And then someone chimed in on Facebook and said that I was a racist and there's three different types of racism. And then came up with some kind of formulaic three steps of racism and said that I fall into one of these categories, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. And I didn't have time to respond because I've been busy with work and my own projects, and Facebook is very minute to me these days, and I told myself I was only going to respond to like one or two responses a day and then just cut myself off because I have better things to worry about. And so when I didn't respond, someone calling me a racist and telling me the various types of racism, like 4 hours later, he wrote, "I guess I won because you had no response." I just had to chuckle at that as well, and I was going to respond, but then I was like, no, I have bigger fish to fry, people. When you're discussing race, class, and gender, people, intelligently, it's not a matter of who wins. We all have our opinions and our diverse backgrounds. Helps mold the way we think, we react. And of course, if you're studying like African American studies in college, which this guy did, the one who tried to call me out for being a racist, all you have are these formulaic equations that you can throw in someone's face. All you have are the principles and the infrastructures that racism is founded upon, and you could talk about it in a statistical type of a manner. However, but when it comes down to it, life is more than just a few statistics, facts, and figures, people. It's more about life experiences and such. And one of the things I pride myself in is that I'm from West Virginia, originally. That I grew up in an all-white community. That, as a matter of fact, my entire family was the only black family in the county. And then I pride myself with the fact that in the next county it was predominantly black. And I pride myself with the fact that I moved to New York where there were more blacks, more Latinos, and whatnot. And the whites were fewer. I pride myself in that, people. And so I can see things from a better perspective than a lot of other people. A lot of people don't have the background that I have. So I pride myself in that, and it gives me a better vision, a better view of the world at large.
Never, 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 never should I lose you. Cause I know I couldn't make it without you. Times aren't always joyful, sometimes it's just plain sad. But how could I evaluate your love if I didn't take the good with the bad? Oh! My baby, sweet baby, I don't want oh baby now, my baby. Life was hopeless and empty it seemed. Now that you're here, you've changed those things. So don't leave me, baby, baby. Live a life of loneliness. My doctors are gone and I know I've been blessed. But all I've known is happiness. So don't leave me, baby, baby. Lost in love and finding with my poor heart breaking. Oh, who should I turn to?
Welcome to the Bougie Black Show, and I'm your host, Stephen Early Jordan II. You know how we can be reached? 206-376-1926. You guys better call me. Every time I get rid of the hotline, you guys start complaining, where's your hotline, Stephen? I want to call, leave a message. I want to promote my product or whatever, and you guys never call. Or you can email me on bougieblackshow@gmail.com and let me know what you think about the shows. Let me know if you have any opinions about it. Let me know if you have any songs. And especially if you're an independent artist, I want to support your product. Because I'm an independent artist also. So, it's kind of funny how all of a sudden people don't pay attention to you. They're out of the blue. They start paying attention to you and don't really know your history. Don't really know your history. For instance, I'm always battling these damn people on Facebook, as I say. And I put this article on my Facebook page about that Newburgh mom who had four small children and she drove her car into the Hudson River. Did you guys hear about that? So I put that on there and the headline was, how many of y'all thought that she was white? And most of the people did think that she was white until we saw her name was LaShonda. Who were like, why in the world are you making everything a race issue? And when it comes down to it, people, because certain things are white people type of things, like, and certain things are black people type of things, and black people 9 times out of 10 don't commit suicide. Black people do not kill their kids most often. Black people definitely do not hang themselves because we're so traumatized about slavery and being hung down south. And if we look at the history, we see all these white women who've killed their children, even all the way back to, what was that play called? Medea. Where her husband's cheating on her, and then she kills all her children. So I'm gonna tell you about this woman, 25-year-old woman, said that she was going through some stuff. Black people were always going through some stuff. The mother of four children meant to drive her kids into Hudson River on Tuesday night. Police said it was no mistake. She was 25 years old and plunged her minivan into the river, killing herself and all but her 10-year-old son. And he escaped by rolling down the window and swimming away. And he said one of the last things that his mom said was, I made a terrible mistake. And the son thinks that that was the moment where his mom realized what she had done, but it was a little bit too late for her to escape from the car at that point. And I find it pretty interesting how a lot of people who are responding to this article online and the bloggers and whatnot, what they're saying. Everyone's wondering if she was into using drugs. Some people said they saw her and her boyfriend or fiance or husband or whatever he was, her baby daddy, getting into an argument, and so they're blaming him for it. And an argument is an argument is an argument, but that doesn't necessarily justify the fact that she did kill her children and herself. It doesn't justify the fact that she may have been mentally ill. It may have been the trigger points. Because sometimes when you're down and out mentally, you feel as if you're in a hell, and you're going to hell in a handbasket, and you want to take the whole world with you that you created. And the only thing that she created probably was these children. Take the thing that's closest to her with her. But when I posted this article on Facebook and asked how many people thought that she was white, all these people threw a big fit saying, why do I have to make everything a race issue? And then refocus on the fact that it was a horrible situation that happened, which it was, but that's not the issue at hand. It's definitely not the issue at hand. Talking about bad situations, you guys hear that Match.com is being sued by a California woman who says she was raped by a sexual predator she met on the dating site. California woman has sued Match.com saying she was raped. The woman says the alleged attacker previously faced sex crime charges and the website could have prevented the assault with proper screening of members. And they're trying to have a temporary injunction prohibiting Match.com from signing on any more new members until the site promises to screen its clients for sexual predators. But don't you think, people, that that's going a little bit too far? Don't you think that we need to be a little bit more responsible for our actions? Because whether she met this guy online, on Match.com, on Craigslist, or she met them in real life at a bar, at a club, or through a friend, the point is that she's not going to know their history. So what is she going to do? Sue the bartender at the bar if she meets them there? Sue her friend for introducing them? How far do we take it, people? If I'm not mistaken, I think that most of these websites say that they're not even held responsible for any outcome or any true matches and whatnot. And logging on to the system, you as an adult, you have to use your, you consent to the ramifications. A lot of websites are like that, people. I mean, I feel bad for the fact that she was allegedly raped. The woman was allegedly raped in her home by this man, Alan Paul Wurtzer, after the two went on their second date in a cafe in West Hollywood last year. She said that after the date, he followed her home and forced himself on her. They're saying that it was a consensual sexual encounter. And the only way to do like some kind of a Match.com real screening is that you'd probably have to ask for like social security numbers, and of course you'd have to pass on the cost to the consumer of doing that. And so a lot of these websites are already expensive and people don't really want to pay that much for it. So would you pay a lot more? Would you? Oh my god, I'm reading this article right now at the exact same time. It's really horrific. What the hell? This is an old article? A girl 11 lured into park bathroom in Moreno Valley, California, and gang raped by 17s. And yes, they're black. An 11-year-old, lured into a park. There's one 19-year-old and all the rest were juveniles, allegedly involved in the shocking crime, was taken into custody in March. And the horror began at a shopping center when the older girl talked the young girl into going in the park's bathroom in Moreno Valley. And the older girl, who has since been arrested, led the 11-year-old girl to the bathroom where the boys were waiting around 6 p.m. The young girl, who is believed to be a random victim, returned to the shopping center around 9 p.m. and reported the attack to police. It appears that they were looking for a victim and lured her back to the waiting males. I don't know about motivation, they said. Cops said that gang members sometimes rape women as a part of initiation, but this case was unusual because the young man targeted an innocent victim. The crime comes after an 11-year-old girl in Cleveland, Texas, was allegedly gang raped by 18 young teenage boys. Like, what was that, like in February? What in the world's going on with these people? But I think that the first case, the one with the gang rape by 18 young men and teenage boys, if I'm not mistaken, that one really wasn't rape, because she had admitted to having sex consensually with all these men. And it wasn't all at the same time, it was like over like the course of a year, and even still, when you're 11 years old, 18 men is a lot. I find it ridiculous they're always blaming the men. Yeah, the men are going to have sex. Yeah, the juveniles are going to have sex no matter how old you are. If you're going through puberty, you're going through puberty. If you realize that you have a tool, your dick, and you don't know what to do with it, and if you're bored to death, what do? They just have sex. That's what kids do. I remember some girl when I was in like sixth grade thought she was pregnant because she was having sex with people in the back of the band room. People. So this is nothing new. It's nothing new at all. To the Bougie Black Show, and I'm your host, Stephen Early Jordan II. You know how we can be reached? 206-376-1926. Send me your music, people. I want to play some independent music around here. You can shoot me an email at bougieblackshow@gmail.com. I'm going to Puerto Rico this week, people, so I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do about about the next two episodes. I think I might have a takeover where I have someone else just do the show for me and do whatever the hell they want, just so you guys can keep on getting some stuff. So, I want to give a shout out to a friend of mine. I'm not allowed to say her name, but she auditioned for the X Factor, that new Simon Cowell reality show, and she made it past like the second round, so I guess she's going to be on the TV series, on that reality show when it comes out. But I'm not allowed to say her name. I've played her music on here as a hint. She's black, number two. I'm friends with her on Facebook, and I put links to her music on there all the time. That's number three, and that's all the hints I'm going to give you right now. Don't want to ruin her chances. Don't want to ruin her chances by saying too much. You know, shout out to Ebony, to Robin, and Jennifer. These three ladies came up from D.C. and hung out with me over the weekend. It was pouring the rain. Kind of cold. Shout out to them. We had a nice weekend in Manhattan. And shout out to Lauren Mikan, who knew I was recording at this moment and sent me an ad from Facebook. It says, racist KFC advertisement. And so I'm playing this ad right now. Let me play it right now. Try and see. So I'm watching this man. He's white. He has a yellow and green jersey on. And I think he's sitting at a soccer match, and around him, there's nothing but black people jumping up and down. And I think it's they're Jamaican or African or something. Let me play this again, because it was so quick. You know how TV commercials are only like 20 seconds long anyway. And they're jumping up and down. Some are doing an electric slide. They're partying, having a great old time. And he has a bucket of chicken in his hand, and he's passing it around. It's for something called the backyard buckets for KFC, whatever that means. I haven't seen these ads on TV, but that's interesting to see on YouTube. So the debate that's going on right now is whether or not this KFC ad is really racist or not, because it has this one white guy passing around buckets of chicken to black people. I'm not sure if it's racist, but I would say that it's culturally insensitive, and there's a difference, because sometimes people who really just don't know any better make these ads. Oh, these are our demographics. Black people like chicken. And do you know why that myth came about, people, why black people like chicken? The reason is because, number one, we could raise our own chickens, and we could breed them, and then we could raise more chickens. And importantly, and so number one, it was easy to produce your own food that way. Back in the day, slave days, and whatnot, and post-slavery. Importantly, chicken is the cheapest meat out there. The cheapest meat. So that's one reason why black people always eat chicken. Our mothers ate it, our grandmothers ate it, our great-grandmothers ate it, and so forth. And it kind of reminds me of beer, all these people drinking beer, and I'm like, you really don't like the taste of beer? You just convinced yourself that you do like the taste of beer, and the only reason why you like it is because you drank it for so long. And the only reason why you started drinking it in the first place is because you probably started drinking it when you were in college and didn't have any money, and that was the cheapest thing that you can afford. So the same thing with chicken. That's the cheapest thing that you can afford. You can get a whole chicken for, what, like $3? Or something. I can get a rotisserie chicken already cooked for, like, what, $6? Up here with two sides. Or something. So no, this KFC ad, which has this white guy passing around buckets of chicken to the black people in the ad, that's not a racist ad, but it's culturally insensitive. And it also reminds me of people. I was working for one place. I won't say the name. And we had a... I was working with an art director at the time. And we had like these little community profiles of different profiles in Manhattan, so to speak. And so we had pictures of certain people. And they had these stereotypical names for the people. Like, for instance, the black guy. I think his name was Deshaun. And he was like 55 years old. And I said, number one, why are we naming him Deshaun? I mean, these were like fake case studies that we were making up. So I was like, why are we naming him Deshaun? I asked the writer, and I asked the art director, why are you naming him Deshaun? It's a stereotypical black name. Why are you giving him that name? That name is for people who are like 35 and under. That's my generation. And the reason is because the 55 and above, they experienced the I'm black and I'm proud era during the 70s. And they wanted a sense of identity, so they came up with these their own names, their made-up names, like Deshaun, LaQuisha, and so forth. So if somebody's like 55 years old right now in 2011, their name is not going to be something like Deshaun. And if it is, it's probably very far and few. So I was like, why not name him Steven or Tyler or something like that? More age-appropriate for this generation. Second of all, the ad had a picture of a black woman, okay? Follow me. The black woman had her hair in rollers and these big pop bottle eyeglasses on, and she had an apron on, and she had a handful of cookies on a tray. And I was like, why do you have her dressed up like a mammy? I'm like, all the white women in here are dressed up in business suits and so forth. And the art director was like, well, she looks cute. I said, she looks like a cute mammy. He's like, a what? I said, a cute mammy. I said, find another black woman, put her in a business suit, just like the white people. And then I proceeded to send the email to everyone else on staff, on my team, and told them why I was offended by it. And then I talked to all the other black people without even, or people of color in general. I'm like, what do you think about this ad? And the first thing that came to her mind was, why does she look like a mammy? Why does she look like she's serving all the white people on the page? Once again, it was a community profile, and just because you might have a black woman in Harlem, doesn't mean you have to stereotype her as somebody's like house servant, or even as somebody who doesn't have a job. Why do all the white women have on business suit and the only black woman in the ad doesn't? That was my biggest complaint. And so my question once again is, was the art director, was the writer, were they racist? No. Am I still cool with them? Yes. Was it culturally insensitive? Yes. Because they didn't understand people. Some people don't understand what might be insensitive or sensitive to other people. And so sometimes you have to just sit back, take a deep breath, and explain it calmly. Sometimes sarcastically. And I think the best way to get over some of these little humps is with humor. Because they probably didn't expect me to say she looks like a mammy. And the look on their faces were absolutely hilarious. I worked for this other company too before people, and I remember it was for a drug for high blood pressure, and they were trying to market themselves it's no longer even existing. Got taken off the shelves, by the way, after like 2 months after being launched to the public, so I won't even say the name of it. But the advertising company that was marketing it claimed that it was the first drug for African Americans who have high blood pressure. And the first thing in my mind was like, it sounded like some kind of Tuskegee experiment. How can you target high blood pressure in African Americans? What makes high blood pressure in African Americans different than white Americans? That was my question. yeah, black people might have high blood pressure at a higher rate. However, but you can't get a drug to target African Americans specifically. So number one, that was a false claim. Number two, all the ads had like these old school, like age, like 65 and on up, black people. I'm black and I'm proud. And the ads had a lot of burgundies, a lot of wine color, a lot of tan shades, a lot of blacks, a lot of golds, things that appeal to black people. Because you know certain colors appeal to us. So it was those colors, the warm colors, the colors of the earth. And so on these ads, it said a revolutionary drug for a revolutionary beginning. And then on the ad, all the people's heads were encircled in a red, black, and green African dashiki-like kente cloth-like pattern. And more importantly, was that racist? I question. No, it wasn't racist. Once again, I question, am I still friends with the people? I would be if I knew them. Again, but I didn't stay that long. I was just freelancing at the company. However, was it culturally insensitive? Yeah, it sure was culturally insensitive. And what did I do in that situation, people? Of course, I stepped back and said, I think this is culturally insensitive. I mean, we can't claim that something is for African Americans specifically. We're already shell-shocked from Tuskegee experiment. We are. Black people already distrust doctors. We already distrust going to the hospitals, so that's one reason why a lot of us end up dying so early, because we're so scared to death of going to the doctor, because of what we know what our ancestors have been through. We feel that going to the doctor, once you go, you're not gonna leave. You're not gonna leave. That's like your last trip. What was it like? I think my grandparents both lived to like, what, 65 or something like that, which is kind of young. Kind of jealous of my friends who have their grandparents at like 80 years old and great-grandparents at 90 and so forth. But that's what we do, people, as black people. We don't trust doctors. So if you're doing some kind of an ad to try to get African Americans, black Americans, or people of color to go to the doctor, you have to strategically place the doctor on the ad and make the doctor black. Somehow in the back of our black minds, we'll trust that then. If we see somebody who has the same face as us, then we'll trust them. Subconsciously. The chances of us going to the doctor are much greater. That's why we need more black doctors out there, people. It's true.
I was staring at the sky, just looking for a star to pray on or wish on or something like that. I was having a sweet fix of a daydream of a boy whose reality I knew was a hopeless to be had. But then the dove of hope began its downward slope, and I believed for a moment that my chances were approaching to be grand. But as it came down near, so did a weary tear. I thought it was a bird, but it was just a paper bag. Hunger hurts, and I want him so bad. Oh, it kills, cause I know I'm a messy, don't wanna clean up. I got to focus, these hands are too shaky to hold. Hunger hurts, but starving works. When it costs too much to love. And I went crazy again today, looking for a strand to climb, looking for a little hope.
just a fail to cope. I said, honey, I don't feel so good, don't feel justified. Come on, put a little love here in my voice. He said, it's all in your head. And I said, so's everything, but he didn't get it. I thought he was a man, but he was just a little boy. Hunger hurts, and I want him so bad. Oh, he kills, cause I know I'm a mess. He don't wanna clean up. I got to focus, these hands are too shaky to hold. Hunger hurts, but starving works when it calls. Too much to love, hunger hurts, but I want him so bad. Oh, it kills, cause I know I'm a mess that he don't wanna clean up. I got to fold because these hands are just too shaky to hold. Hunger hurts, but starving works me when it calls. Too much to love, hunger hurts, but I want him so bad. Oh, it kills because I know that I'm a mess that he don't wanna clean up. I got to fold because these hands are just too shaky to hold. Hunger hurts, but starving, it works when it calls. Too much to love.
People, so we're back to the Bougie Black Show. I'm your host, Stephen Early Jordan II, and you know how we can be reached. BougieBlackShow@gmail.com. 206-376-1926. So what I was trying to say during the last segment is that a lot of these people who are in these advertising companies don't necessarily understand how to target their audience. And whether you work for one of these advertising companies or not is irrelevant, but the point is, if you see some kind of something that, some kind of injustice, some kind of cultural insensitivity going on, I feel that it's your responsibility as a human being to let someone know. And you don't have to go all gung-ho on these people and be all Angela Davis on them. But you can just sit back and simply explain with an email or a letter or a phone call, or just walk over to the person if you know them. And it's not even about publicly humiliating some of these people, but let these people know. Let these people know why something is culturally insensitive. Because a lot of people don't know the history that you might know. Having an ad with a bucket of chicken flying around among black people, and only one white person produces the bucket of chicken, it seems like he's trying to calm down the natives. He's calming the natives. The idea of having a black person on an ad and dressed in a nightgown and an apron and a bunch of cookies on the ad with all the white people dressed in business suits, I don't understand that either, at why somebody would even consider doing something like that. Integrate them. Have more black people. Have more of a diverse with their outfits and whatnot. And more importantly, make the black person a little bit more equal. And not in a subservient role. And I think that's what I've been trying to say this entire episode, is that when it comes to like President Obama, or when it comes to advertising, the only thing that pleases Americans is having minorities in a submissive role. And like the ad with the bucket of chicken, the only thing that calmed these natives, the black people, down was a bucket of chicken. And so therefore, the white man in the ad for KFC was calm, cool, collective. He was like, ooh, they're calm now. It's kind of like throwing a dog a bone and then running the opposite way. Right? And then you might say, oh, Stephen, you look too much into this. And no, it's not the fact that I look too much into this. That's the only way that I see it, people. As soon as I see it, that's the first thing that triggers my responses. And if that's the first thing that triggers my response, then I know for a fact that I'm not the only person on the face of the earth that's thinking that way. And I feel that if there's a cultural injustice, it's my responsibility as a black man in my mid-30s to speak about it and try to correct it and educate people. And that's what it comes down to, people, is more education. So I hope I inspired you today. And more importantly, I hope you enjoyed the show.
Prometheus is getting cold, and no,
to avoid curse.